Welcome to the Pet Cancer Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Susan Ettinger, a board-certified oncologist who treats dogs and cats with cancer. Dr. Sue's motto is see something, do something, so that cancer can be found early when it's still a treatable disease. The Pet Cancer Vet is a production of Eight Paws LLC and Dr. Sue Cancer Vet PLLC, which are solely responsible for its content. To hear more episodes of this show and other Pet Talk radio shows I co-host with top veterinarians and pet experts, please go to RadioPetLady.com. The Pet Cancer Vet is brought to you by Best Pet RX, a unique compounding pharmacy for pets in New York City that can turn any medication for dogs and cats into a custom-flavored oral paste, chewable tablet, or a liquid that your pet will actually like. And Best Pet RX will keep trying formulations at no extra charge and offers same-day delivery in New York City and overnight delivery anywhere else so that your pet can happily take the medicine she needs to get well and stay well. Support for this show also comes from Precious Cat Litter, owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian in Colorado who has created many innovative litters for the health of all members of the family, with low-dust litters that allow everyone to breathe easier. Precious Cat's newest health monitor litter has raised the bar for preventive health because it can detect the early signs of kidney disease, allowing you to intervene before kidney damage is done, increasing the quality and length of your kitty cat's life. Dr. Sue, good evening. We have a most interesting person joining us on the show. We've never talked about skin cancer in dogs, and it's a very interesting topic and one that isn't raised a lot. How we came to be made aware of a very popular dog called Mickey. In fact, he has 75,000 followers on Facebook, on his Facebook page called Watch Mickey Beat Cancer, is a most disturbing and curious situation. And we have John Schill with us, who's a lawyer in Arizona, who fought a legal battle for Mickey to be released, well, not put to death for an accidental mauling that happened, and then to be released from the shelter where he was to a medical facility when he developed skin cancer. John Schill, welcome to the Pet Cancer Vet. So nice to meet you.
Thank you.
This is a very complicated situation, not that Mickey's skin cancer is so complicated, but why and how you became involved with this dog. We'll have a link to his Facebook page, and we'll put a link with the podcast of this show to a couple of the articles that you shared with me. People may have heard of the case of this mostly white pit bull, and I mentioned mostly white because he'd be more at risk for skin cancer, as it turns out, in Arizona's a state with way too much sun. I mean, there are a lot of states with way too much sun. It's not meant critically, but it's a lot of sun.
Such a New Englander, Kathy.
I know. But, I mean, sunblock is needed for your white-nosed horses and your white-nosed dogs. That really would be the least of his problems. Can you talk without too much detail about what happened with Mickey and the child that he attacked when the child tried to take the four-year-old child was unsupervised by irresponsible parents? That's my parenthetical comment. And the child came into the yard of a dog and tried to take away his bone. And the dog bit him in the face, long and short.
That's correct. Mickey was a dog that was kept outside in a doghouse, chained to the doghouse, exposed to the sun a lot, and he was malnourished. He was not fed very well. We don't know really what he ate, but we know at this particular day in question, he did have a bone. A child was left unsupervised, a four-year-old. The child came up to Mickey, tried to take the bone from Mickey. Mickey growled once. The child tried to take the bone still, and then Mickey reached out, and Mickey's head was the same level as a child's head, so when he went to bite, he bit the child's face, and that was a horrible accident that happened.
Well, I just want to say that the majority of dog bites to children are their faces, because that they are pretty much face to face with a dog. And many, many, we can't say most, but many have to do with children harassing dogs because parents are ignorant and lazy when they allow small children around any dog anytime without 100% supervision. So that's my parenthetical comment, and it comes from 10 years of researching the dog Bible. And I can tell you that I think that sometimes kids need to be in crates, or the parents should be, because dogs don't really want to bite people. They just have to protect their stuff if it comes down to it. So how did
And that's what happened here. And then what happened is this: I was contacted by a group that of attorneys that saves dogs and goes into cases like this, called the Lexis Project, and they're out of New York.
Oh, I'll be darned.
They sent me an email saying this is a horrible case, the case you're probably not going to win, it's probably going to break your heart.
Oh.
But do you want to take it on? And I said, well, this is going to be tough. But I do have my own law firm. I have a number of attorneys that work for me. And I said, we're going to take this on. So we fought it. We went in first to one court, the county court, and got a restraining order so no one could euthanize a dog. The owners of the dog wanted Mickey killed, so they basically surrendered him to the shelter. One of the people that was supervising the child wanted the dog killed, so she filed a vicious dog action that went wanting Mickey to be killed. We responded in court. We got standing because we opened up a trust for Mickey, an honorary trust, and said, we're here to protect Mickey. We went into court. The judge did not allow us to defend Mickey as to his viciousness. She only allowed us to defend him as to the punishment. So I was only able to argue for her to spare Mickey's life. During the court proceedings, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, Sheriff Joe as he's known here in Maricopa County, came forward and said he'd be willing to give Mickey a place to live out his life if the judge would allow him to be sentenced for life.
That's pretty interesting. I wonder if Sheriff Joe would have done that for a human. I know that's a goofy comment, Sue, and we are going to be talking about skin cancer, guys, so don't think we've all lost our minds here. But, you know, I mean, a lot of these moral issues that have to do with pets, they belong on the plate of everybody, whether it's bystanders or lawyers or vets or, you know, authors. And I think that that's just really interesting that a dog's plight, a dog who had no choice but to bite, he really had no choice. He was starving, but he was also chained to his own house, and his very small and miserable limited space was invaded by a creature trying to remove the one thing he had in this world, which was that bone. And I wonder why this has moved so many people, not just yourself, but the sheriff, and 75,000 people on Facebook. It's very interesting. I mean, who do we sympathize with? Who do we empathize with? Where are our kind of, where's our moral compass? And I can't say that I disagree. This little boy's jaw was broken. He lost an eye. That poor little child was the biggest victim of all, but a victim not only of the dog, obviously, of the way he was being raised.
I agree. And I've always said, anytime anybody asked me about this case, there was two victims. There was the child and there was Mickey. And both have suffered because of this. The child horrendously, but Mickey as well. So the sheriff did come forward for Mickey, said he would give him a place to live. So the judge allowed that and sentenced Mickey to Sheriff Joe's jail for life. It's not as bad as it sounds because the sheriff runs a rescue out of his jail.
Now, that's the part that's just like, oh, my God, the story turns into like, you know, a Hallmark Sunday night movie when they used to have them. He runs a rescue out of his jail. How much do we love Sheriff Joe? I mean, how cool is he?
He is.
Any animal that's seized in one of his raids for animal cruelty or hoarding goes to his MASH unit. And he has a whole jail that no longer houses inmates. It houses animals.
My God.
Cells. So Mickey was given his own cell. Mickey was given a webcam so everybody could watch Mickey in his cell. And it was made as comfortable for him as possible because he was going to be there the rest of his life. After about a year, though, Mickey started to develop skin problems, dermatitis and whatnot. Mickey was constantly under the supervision of the inmates and the guards, and the vets there. The vets did a biopsy of one of the lumps on Mickey, and it was determined that Mickey had cancer. He was diagnosed with cutaneous hemangiosarcoma.
Okay, so we're gonna take a break. When we come back, Sue's gonna talk about when and where and why you should have your dog biopsied, like why wait, aspirate, and then about this kind of skin cancer and the difference of skin cancer in a dog and in a person. We'll be right back after a quick break. This show is brought to you with the generous support of Nordic Naturals, omega-3 fish oil products that provide dogs and cats with the same premium quality omega-3 fish oils as for people. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses responsibly sourced, healthy wild fish and uses third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness in their oils. This show is also supported by WikiWags, male doggy diapers with a belly band that wraps around your boy dog's belly with a disposable absorbent pad. For male dogs of any size who have been peeing indoors, urine marking, excitability, incontinence, and house training issues, these are the problems WikiWags solves. WikiWags.com. That's www.wikiwags.com, where you'll find the relief you've been looking for. We are back with Dr. Sue and John Schill, the lawyer in Arizona who stood up for Mickey and now has a Facebook page for him called Watch Mickey Beat Cancer. Dr. Sue, when this very white dog in a very sunny state, and now it turns out the dog never had real shelter, he was just out baking in the sun, this very white dog, putting him at great risk for skin cancer. When they saw these skin problems evolve, at what point would you say that the average vet, they were obviously somewhat above average, would biopsy funny-looking stuff going on in the skin of a white dog?
That's a hard question to answer how many will, but that's really the whole point of the campaign that, you know, I'm working on, is see something, do something. And so we're really advocating early detection of these lumps or bumps, especially, you know, smooth dogs with short hair coats like Mickey. You know, those are the ones that pet owners usually are going to find the masses earlier. But the bottom line is that the mass is the size of a pea, half the size of a penny, and has been there a month, go to your vet and get an aspirate or get a biopsy. So we really want to find these masses, and even the malignant cancer. So about 20-40% of skin masses in dogs and cats are going to be malignant cancers. But most of them can be removed with just surgery if we find them early before they've had a chance to spread. So Mickey's falls into the malignant category, hemangiosarcoma, and that's one that most pet owners know from internal form. So usually in dogs, the most common place that we find this malignant cancer of blood vessels is in the spleen, and it's very aggressive with a very high spread rate, and those are the ones that fill up with blood and then they bleed into the belly. In the skin, the superficial ones actually are very different than the internal ones. Can, you know, if you remove them early, those dogs can go on and live, you know, years if we find them early. If it gets into the deeper layers of the skin or into the muscle layers, they're more aggressive. So the deeper they go, the more malignant and more aggressive they are. So when someone tells me their dog had skin hemangiosarcoma, I want to read the biopsy report.
Right.
I want to know, was it in the skin? Was it in those subcutaneous, so under the skin layers, or was it involving muscle? The deeper it is, may change the recommendations after surgery. Most skin cancer in dogs, let me just add one more thing.
Sure.
Because you brought it up.
Yeah.
Is not sun-induced.
Oh, my goodness.
But there are some breeds, and the classic dogs, we call them the sunbather dogs. They're the dogs that lay on their backs, and so, you know, maybe it's a greyhound or a whippet or a fair-skinned pitty. They can get sun cancer. I did my vet school in upstate New York at Cornell. We rarely saw sun-induced cancer there, believe it or not, because there was, you know,
not enough sun.
There was not enough sun. After my residency, I moved out to San Jose, California, and I saw a ton of cats with the skin sun-induced squamous cell carcinomas.
Right. Because
the
they love to sunbathe in front of the window, and the window.
Ears, nose,
yes.
Around the eyes. And if it was like a calico kitty and one side of their face was darker and the other side was white, they were going to get it on the white side. So you know, again, if you live in Arizona and you have a fair-skinned dog, you know, sunscreen is reasonable, keeping them in a shaded area. Poor Mickey was left out in the sun. I'm not surprised he got hemangiosarcoma. But again, find those lumps and bumps early. Find out if they're malignant and get them removed before they're big and they can spread.
And the time to not allow your cat to sunbathe in front of the window, which actually magnifies the sun's rays, or your dog, light color or any other color, is in the hottest part of the day, which I'm sure is when Mickey was just out there on his miserable chain from 11 to 2.
Or so, move to the snow belt.
Another possibility, yes, or live underground.
But believe me, Mickey would have loved to move anywhere.
I know. God bless his.
Oh,
you know, he's actually, you said earlier, the little boy is suffering, and so is Mickey. Quite frankly, from what we're now hearing, I mean, he's never been better off. He's got three square meals, or two anyway. He's in a cool place or a warm place, depending on the
Well, he's actually moved from where he was at the MASH unit with Sheriff Joe. Once it was determined that he had the cutaneous skin cancer, I'm not good at saying that, we went back to the court and explained that because he has this cancer, because he has suffering from dermatitis as well, which is making the cancer even worse, we wanted to move him to another facility. So he is actually now at a boarding facility at a very high-end veterinarian hospital in Arizona.
And who's paying for that, John?
There was some money raised initially for Mickey. A lot of that money has gone for his treatment and boarding. We have other people that will continue to pay for Mickey for the rest of his life.
No kidding. What do you think motivates those people?
Their love and devotion to Mickey.
To the individual dog who they don't know. So it's to the idea of Mickey. Because Mickey, they've never met him or patted him other than seeing him on a webcam, because isn't he forbidden to have any contact with the outside world other than the assigned caregivers?
The assigned caregivers and myself. And we'll just leave it at this, that the people that are responsible for his bills do get to see Mickey. And I'll leave it at that.
Nice. So you're contributing greatly. That's clear, and you're very modest about it, or maybe you don't want to be so overt about it. It's very interesting how a situation like his goes from being basically an abused dog within the law. It's legal in the dreadful, this dreadful way of keeping a dog on an 8-foot chain for their entire life around the clock is also legal in Vermont, where I now live. It's legal in a lot of states. There's some great humane groups going around getting dogs off chains, buying people fencing and putting it up and convincing them to take a dog off a chain. It's interesting that it goes from a dog being in such hunger and such confinement, and then having cancer, and then being in a different kind of confinement, but quite a cheery one, and he's never shown anything but kindness to everybody. Is that right?
That's correct. He is the friendliest, the happiest dog. He loves everyone that comes in contact with him. And you're 100% correct. When Mickey was first put into MASH, we put a webcam in his cell. People from around the world watched Mickey, and people noticed the bumps on his skin. The vets noticed the bumps, and that's why we immediately jumped on it and had it the lumps biopsied. Found out about the cancer. Then, of course, we took him to a very good oncologist here in town, and she found other bumps, which were then removed through using the freezing method as opposed to going in and digging them out with a scalpel.
So they weren't too deep, which is good.
No, nothing was too deep. So then we went to court, was able to get Mickey moved to his new facility. That happened around May of this year. Since then, two other lumps have come up. The first lump was taken off and biopsied. It came back benign. A lump as of last week, we had another biopsy and another small pea-sized lump. And that one came back malignant, but mostly benign. And they said, we got all the margins again as well. So we're just going to have to watch Mickey constantly. He has vet techs that watch him 24/7, but we also have a monthly appointment where Mickey and I go in and meet with the vet and go over any lumps and bumps.
So this is a really good message to other people of how vigilant one has to be once a dog has this kind of cancer, that it will it may continue to erupt. Sue, is that pretty typical?
I mean, it makes me so... Not necessarily. I mean, I think, you know, for the sun-induced cancers are relatively uncommon in dogs and cats. But I think in a dog like Mickey, who is exposed to a ton of sun, it's great to be vigilant because he may be predisposed to other lesions just because he spent so much time in the sun. But even if your dog has spent no time in the sun,
right,
there are too many skin cancers that are totally unrelated to being in the sun. So, you know, again, monthly checks, know your dog. Find their lumps or bumps. You know, part of the see something, do something is I want everyone to have a little skin map. It's just a little drawing of their dog and mark it and measure it and know where it is. So when you go to your vet, you're not all looking around for it. But we need to find these lumps and bumps early. And I love the fact that he gets a monthly exam. And that's one of the things that I want to do in the future is whether I can get an app or something that, like, on your phone, you'll have a little pee appear once a month.
Oh, how cute.
Or a little sticker for me, old school Sue, in the kitchen. You know,
yes.
Put it up. You know, next to my heart guard sticker.
Right.
You know, and, you know, remember to feel your dog for those lumps and bumps. So, I mean, whether they've had one in the past or they've never had one, you know, we should all need to be vigilant.
And he's a really good example of it. We're going to take another quick break. When we get back, we'll talk a little bit about, you know, Mickey seems to have a reason to have been spared by John and the other supporters, and he seems to be a really great ambassador for beating cancer. So when we come back, we'll talk about that. We'll be right back. The Radio Pet Lady Network is brought to you in part by Spot Platinum, an allergy test to determine which elements in your dog's environment or diet may be causing his scratching or licking. Spot Platinum can detect allergies for which they can make a USDA-approved oral spray custom-tailored to your dog's specific needs to control his symptoms. Spot Platinum is a privately owned company that has done more than 500,000 allergy tests over 25 years. For more information, visit them on the web at vetallergy.com. Support for this show also comes from VaxaCheck, a simple test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog or puppy is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. Shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones and avoid unnecessarily over-vaccinating dogs. VaxaCheck for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxaCheck for cats is coming soon. We're back. John Schill, watch Mickey beat cancer. That's what you called his Facebook page. So you very much are making that the message of his ambassadorial role in showing that you can beat cancer if you keep on top of it. Is cancer a topic? So many people's dogs are dying from it, have died from it, will die from it. Certainly it's in the human population a lot. Do you think that this sort of proactive message is a really valuable one to other dog owners?
Most definitely. I've actually had several dogs myself that have succumbed to cancer because we caught it too late.
Yes.
And they've all been Rottweilers.
Oh, my Rottie had long bone cancer. He was only six. It's horrible.
Exactly what's come up. And that's why with Mickey, we were able to catch it early. And, you know, I see Mickey once a week. I check him out thoroughly myself once a week, going over looking for any lumps and bumps. And just like you said, I immediately make a notation if there is a lump. We take a picture of it, and I watch it and then show the vet the next time we have our exam to see if it's grown. And that's what happened with this lump we had removed last week, is it started to grow, and that's why they made the decision to do the biopsy. Of course, first what we always do with these lumps is do an aspiration, and then after that, if it's inconclusive, or if they feel there's some mast cells in there, that's when we go in and do the biopsy. Mickey is unique, and Mickey is a situation that most people's dogs, I don't think, could get the care that Mickey has, because he is constantly supervised by vet techs. He has monthly appointments with the vet,
right,
which you don't normally see, even with an oncologist. So he is fortunate for that. And I hope Mickey lives a long and healthy life because of it. Mickey is also in a facility now that is air-conditioned, but it's indoors, so he's no longer exposed to the harmful rays of the sun. He does have windows in his room, but the windows are shaded, so he can see out, he can see everything, but he doesn't have direct sunlight coming in and beating on the window, causing him any further problems.
And certainly for people who have dogs that have, or horses, by the way, because I had a horse that was a gray horse, and she got melanoma. She actually, I think she died of it, the next girl who took her around to horse shows. But, you know, you can't sunscreen spray an entire, you know, 1,500-pound horse, but you can sunspray the white areas of a dog, less so a cat, right, Sue, because the cat would groom it off, and then they'd be ingesting sunscreen.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a problem with dogs that they can rub it off as well. But our dermatologist does recommend, you know, using sunscreen in certain dogs and things like that. So it's not a perfect solution, but I think it works better in dogs than in cats.
Avoidance and then some sunscreen when needed. What is melanoma in a dog? Because in a human, melanoma is often a very aggressive, often even deadly form of skin cancer. But in dogs, that melanoma vaccine was developed, but I don't really understand how melanoma works in a dog.
So melanoma in skin in dogs tends to be benign and unrelated to the sun exposure. The malignant melanoma, the more aggressive form, which is similar to the human malignant skin melanoma, is in the mouth, which is the number one cancer we see,
right.
The number one oral cancer that we see in dogs. And the other malignant site that we see a little less commonly than the mouth is the toe, so digit melanoma. And the vaccine was developed for the oral melanoma as a model for skin malignant melanoma in people's. There are some malignant skin ones, but again, the majority of dogs that have skin melanoma, not sun-related, and tend to be benign, cut them out, very good prognosis. I would, you know, go out on a limb and say most of the benign ones, you know, curative surgery for the skin form.
And you worked on the melanoma vaccine. You were at the Animal Medical Center.
I was at the Animal Medical Center when we were doing some of the initial clinical trials. So my mentor said, you've seen more melanoma in your 2 years as a resident than most oncologists see in years, because it was a fully funded clinical trial. So people would travel, you know, distances for it because everything was covered from start to finish.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's those kind of clinical trials really do attract all the people that
and
might.
And they're rare.
Yeah. But, you know, don't see them much. Actually, just a little plug for CATNIP, which is the catallergystudy.org. They're doing across the country at major medical centers across the country, offering to people who are cat allergic and have been cat allergic for at least 2 years, can live with a cat or not, to be part of that trial, and their travel, the human's travel, is paid. The National Institutes for Health is covering it. So I'm trying to help get the word out about that. John, if you know anybody in Arizona that's really cat allergic but would love to live with a cat, or they have a partner who might, it's quite amazing. They're paying for these people to go through this two-year trial.
I'll get the word out.
Yeah, because you obviously are a great animal lover. Watch me.
I handle a lot of animal cases in Arizona.
It sounds like it. I mean, is this something that was a lifetime passion of yours, or something that you came to later in life?
I came to a couple years ago after I started taking in rescue dogs myself, and then it just went there. And now I handle the majority of the vicious dog cases in Arizona, in animal-related cases, period. But I'm remiss if I forget to address one thing about Mickey that's really complicated. His life now and his treatment is when after his was moved to the new facility and we did his first surgery, he developed MRSA.
Whoa.
So
that's something I've discussed on the expert vet with Dr. Donna Spector. MRSA is really disturbing. I mean, it's an infection that's very hard to treat, basically, right, Sue?
Yeah, it's a very resistant skin infection. So usually it's a methicillin resistant staph aureus infection. So that's what the MRSA stands for. But basically, it's a type of staph infection. Staph is the most common bacterial that causes skin infections, but this one is just super resistant to the standard antibiotics. So it can be really hard to treat and often transmittable. So it's one of those diseases that in some animals that can go to people. So, you know, it's one of the few ones that we call zoonotic. So where, you know, the people need to be super careful, and it can also spread to other animals. So, you know, it becomes a whole extra level of precautions when you have a pet that has a MRSA infection.
So, John, do you have to wear gloves or something when you're with him, or you just wash up
well? There was a time when there was about 4 weeks that Mickey was in ICU with those precautions.
Wow.
So until they got it under control, and they actually had to bump it all the way up and use human-grade antibiotics to address the infection. It's now under control, and I am not a vet, and I don't profess to know anything about medicine, but they have told me that it's still in his skin, so every time we look to do a procedure, we have to be very careful.
Right.
It doesn't become a problem again. So that's one thing that complicates Mickey's
And yet he remains cheerful. I mean, this guy's been through all this.
He's very happy, and everybody at the facility loves him. I mean, he is a dog now that gets out 8 times a day for a minimum of 30 minutes for playtime. Plus, it's a 24-hour facility, so it's a number of people at night go in there, and there's a TV in Mickey's room, and they sit there and watch TV with
Mickey. Oh, I love it.
That's so cool.
Can I add one other thing?
Yes.
So, Smokey, who's the inspiration for See Something, Do Something, who was the beautiful white pity that was owned by my beloved nurse, Amanda. But, you know, I tell this story, and, you know, it's one of those shame on me, but her and I got complacent because he had a ton of benign lipomas. And, you know, that 10th mass turned out to be one of those connective tissue cancers, and it was really big. And, you know, it was one of those that I got complacent, Amanda got complacent. But again, you know, there's a special place in my heart for the white pities. And his was non-sun induced. But again, I think it just, you know, it's interesting to me that Mickey is a white pity and Smokey, who is my inspiration for this program. So maybe on the post for this, we can get a picture of Smokey as well.
That would be really nice because we want to, you know, I mean, the people that love pit bulls and wouldn't have a better family pet than a pity. And in the Dog Film Festival, we have a wonderful PSA called The Majority Project that Animal Farm Foundation made, which is absolutely stunning. It's only a minute long, like your PSA, Dr. Sue, but it shows all the kinds of people around the country that call pit bulls their best friend and their family dog. And it's every color, every creed, every size, every shape, every age, every profession, every religion of human you can imagine. And they all embrace the pit bull. And I guess what may move someone like you, John, or the other followers of Mickey, is the unfairness of the breed discrimination. Because any hungry dog tied on a chain with a crappy little house and nothing to eat, and a kid comes over and tries to take your bone away, biting is what dogs do. And you said that he growled once. Well, that's what's frightening about that piece of information, is it means that there was an adult there. What the heck was the adult doing? Because the four-year-old was probably never going to remember what happened right before he was attacked. So some adult must have witnessed a growl, in which case the adult should have been on their guard.
And they weren't. And there is so much breed discrimination. And one thing I do need to address, again, and I skipped over it, is Mickey has always been referred to as Mickey the Pit Bull. And the articles I shared with you, all the news stories, Mickey the Pit Bull. But Mickey's not a pit bull.
Well, that's funny.
Mickey is a bulldog, and testimony from Animal Control confirmed that when we did the case. But he's always been called Mickey the Pitbull, so we still refer to him as Mickey the Pitbull. Because
interesting.
Yeah,
nobody would know him as Mickey the Bulldog.
But what's interesting, of course, is that, and what Animal Farm Foundation and a lot of other pitbull supportive groups point out, is that the American Bulldog and the Staffordshire Terrier and so forth are all go into making up some, you know, mixes that can be called a pitbull. But
sure. But
there's no such thing as just a pit bull. They're a mixed breed of many different breeds that have been around forever in America, including the dog that was in Spanky and our gang. And, you know, Petey. Who didn't love Petey and that fake bullseye he had around his eye? There was a white Petey, right?
Yeah. No, that's how I got into all this, because I have a little small one-eyed pit bull that's named Petey.
Oh my goodness. Well, John, it's just wonderful that you brought us the story. Wonderful what you've done for Mickey and the other 75,000 Facebook followers that sort of put the wind beneath your wings and underneath Mickey's wings. There's hope for everybody and for every dog if the right people stand up for them. And it's a very curious story, and Mickey's fight against cancer is a really good message to everybody that every month at least You should run your hands all over your dog and feel for lymph nodes and feel for lumps and bumps. And if you see something, do something. John, thanks for being here with us. And Dr. Sue,
thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. And I'll be talking to you and Sheriff Joe on Dog Talk sometime soon to talk about the cancerous and non-cancerous issues in the case, because it really does bring up a lot of socio-political issues around people and dogs and things that we have to think beyond our obvious knee-jerk reaction. Thanks, John, so much. Dr. Sue, thank you so much, as always.